Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
George said that I never do the drum beat for the intro songs.
Yeah, right.
And I just like to see the look on his face now when he's listening to that.
He is going to be eating his words.
He's going to have nothing. He's going to be nothing. He's going to be a shell of a man.
No, he's going to be the fattest man you've ever seen.
Wow, because of all the words
he's
eating.
All the words.
Yeah. I mean, some words feel like they would be fattier than other words, right?
Sure.
Like the word Ouroboros.
Oh, yeah.
That feels like that is just pure lard.
Oh, it's just
in your
thick.
Mouth.
It's, yeah. It's just all material.
Creamy.
Whereas, yeah. Surprisingly, like the word thin.
Yeah.
It's not surprising because it fits, but you know, these days, just something that works is surprising.
I'm not surprised at all.
No?
It's one of those things that that just washes off me. Like water off a duck who's expecting water, you know?
Wow.
So the duck doesn't even, like, could a duck look shocked, do you think?
It would have to try so hard. You know, so hard that it would actually be disappointing for the other ducks how hard they would have to work to look shocked at how shocked that duck looks.
Yes.
Right? So it would just create this sort of chain reaction of
ducks working very hard.
Of effort, yeah.
That'd be the end for ducks.
Do you think so?
I think one of the problems for animals and one of the reasons why we're able to mistreat them as much as we do, thank God, is,
and it's their fault. I'm hoping you're going to tell us it's their fault.
It's 100% their fault. Because what it is they haven't taken... Because so much of communication is body language.
Yeah.
We know this. We say it all the time. Animals must have overheard. And yet
at
animals make absolutely no effort to like mimic our body language. Sure, they can't speak English, but they've got, you know, limbs and faces. They could use those limbs and faces to sort of talk to us and express their pain and their suffering.
Yeah.
And yet they don't. I've never once seen a pig with its arms crossed.
Not once.
Frowning, you know?
No, I mean, I've seen, they don't look happy a lot of the time, but...
Oh, well.
But you know,
I mean, that hugely undermines everything I was trying to say.
Look, but it's not necessarily frowning. It could just be a resting nothing face.
Yes. Resting pig face.
Yeah, resting pig face. But also, humans make a real effort with animals. If we drive past them, we sort of yell the sound of that animal out of the car. Moo!
Yeah.
Quack, quack.
We're trying so hard.
Yeah. When we talk to dogs, we try to talk in a way that they would understand, like a, hello, doggy, what do you do, little doggy? You're a dog, you bloody dog.
Yeah, we communicate concepts that they should be able to grasp, like the fact that they're a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, it's got to be a two-way street, you know.
Yeah, and I guess I always find it humorous that along the way, along human society, there have been people who have tried to bridge the gap between human and animal communication.
Yeah.
You know, like that guy who set up that house that was half filled up with water so that woman could live with that dolphin?
Yeah, is that real?
I believe so, yeah. Leading up to it, I think he had taken a lot of LSD and a lot of ketamine.
Ketamine?
Yeah, not special K.
No. Although it's pretty special K.
It is very special K.
It's so special.
And maybe it would have left his body looking, you know, he would have had that special K challenge body.
Yes.
I mean, I wish we were getting money from Kellogg's here. Anyway. I don't know, how is it that you eat Special K and you're supposed to get a nice body when all it is just white carbs?
Advertising?
Yeah, it's probably advertising. It's probably about putting strawberries on it, mostly eating strawberries.
It'd be great if your body... Because, again, to go back to body language, 70% of language is communicated by your body, but your body doesn't understand anything. Yeah. Like, your body's putting it out there, but it can't pick up on anything. No. So you try and communicate to your body and tell it to lose weight.
Mm.
You sit there, your body's watching the ads as much as you are, and yet the body learns nothing about the fact that you should be losing weight from Special K.
It seems like a lot of the learning burden is rested upon the consciousness.
Mm.
And the body itself, sure, there's a bit of muscle memory.
Right.
But a lot of the memory gets done by the brain.
Sure. And where does that muscle memory come from? It comes from the brain telling the body to do things.
A lot of conscious effort.
Yes, teaching the body.
Teaching the body.
So, I mean, that's all good.
So, like, I guess the body is kind of like a bad student in that it can learn, but it really has to be tutored and really, like, it needs one-on-one sort of training when we don't really have the time to spend time with every part of your body and teach it to do things.
The body is very much a kinesthetic learner that learns by doing. Yeah. You can't just describe things to your body.
No.
You know, you can't do book learning, for example. No. For your body, which I think is a real shame, which is what they got around in the movie The Matrix, I believe, is that they could just download information straight into the body.
Oh, it's in the body as well. That's right, because, I mean, they're like, you know, the plug goes into the brain, but I guess the nerves and everything like that, they know about it too.
I think there must be some muscle memory involved, because you couldn't be like, I know kung fu.
That would have been one of the most difficult things for those programmers, not only to be able to get the information into the brain, but then to be able to program it so that the muscles know what to do and allowing for the differences in people's bodies.
Is there a sketch in, like, giving people seminars or whatever in talking to their body, like whispering to your thighs, right? Like, so, yeah, we've got the horse whisperer.
Sure.
We've got the people who can do sign language to chimpanzees.
Yeah.
But, like... Can we just talk to our own body?
Sure. Whispering to thighs, yelling at asses.
Having a stern talking to with your...
Cheeks. What about just talking to your mouth?
Hey, that's beautiful.
Okay, and what are these... what are we trying to get out of these conferences or these? I mean, assume it's a conference. People are paying a lot of money.
Well, it's all about, like, because mindfulness, right, is about listening to your body and being aware of your body. But there's no sense that your body is aware of you. Okay.
Yeah.
Your needs. So we've got to listen to the body, sure, but it's got to be a two-way street.
Yeah, and why is it that they expect, like, the ears to listen to the body?
Yes.
Is that what they're saying? Or are we listening with our insides?
I mean...
Because when they say listen to your body, they're not saying, like, listen to the sounds your body's making.
No, that's a mistake. That's level one mistake. You can lose 1, 2, 3 years of, like, Buddhist meditation.
Okay.
Being like, oh, okay, I heard a grumble.
Well, this is like slide 2 or 3. After introductions in this seminar, first thing is let's get rid of that little literal interpretation of listening to your body, because a lot of people are going to get caught up in that.
Listening to their body, to your body, by the way, nothing that's ever actually been said in any of it.
I'm sure, no, I have definitely heard listen to your body.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, I've learned that I have to listen to my body. It's telling me when I'm injured or when I'm tired or when I need to take a break or maybe I'm in danger or maybe there's money around the corner and my body knows.
Your body knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to be able to talk, like, directly to your thumb or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So I guess, maybe each part of the body has its own language in some way. You've got to think about, like, what concepts would the thumb understand, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Bending and that kind of thing, and I don't know, like the thumbs up feels like a pretty, pretty clear thing. But does the thumb even really know when the thumb is up? Does the thumb understand what that means?
And does it know how much work it has to put in, like how much collaboration? Maybe the thumb thinks that the thumbs up is all it.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't know that there's four other fingers who are all doing something to make the thumbs up meaningful. Did you just roll your eyes at me?
Not at all. No, I think I'd started thinking about something else. I mean, we just performed a sketch from our sketch show on stage, and then
it went really well. If you're worried about the sketch show that we're doing at the comedy festival, we just performed live on stage, and it was great.
It was the first live performance of the first sketch we're going to do in the show.
Yeah,
and it went well, quite well.
I mean, I forgot my first line, but
sure.
After that, Alistair, we were on a roll.
But Andy did that so that the other audiences, he did that to that audience so that the important audiences to us, you guys, don't have to go through that.
Yeah, I also did tell them up the top that they weren't an important audience to me.
Mm-hmm. And I tried to communicate it through my body language.
Yes.
All right, we got to get some sketch out of this talking to your body seminar.
Yeah. You know, it's somebody who teaches you how to talk to your body, how to talk the language of different parts of your body.
Are you just trying to get, what are you trying to get out of it? Like, you're trying to get your body to work better?
Yeah.
Is it a pain reduction thing?
Well, you know what your body's telling you, but it doesn't know what you're saying to it.
A lot of people focus on pain reduction, but they should be focused on pleasure increasement.
I think a lot of people are focused on that as well.
Yeah. But people who are in a lot of pain?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting, right? Like, as a medical therapy, that like, sure, you've got an injured back, right? Yeah. But maybe we can drown that out by giving your lower leg such a good time.
Yeah, if we could get your leg into a state of euphoria.
Yeah, just utter bliss.
Somewhere, you know, just below the thigh but above the knee, I am absolutely experiencing the sublime.
Below the thigh, but above the knee.
Yeah.
So sort of that region. So you reckon that your thigh isn't all the stuff between your hip and your knee?
Oh, some of it must just be general leg.
Just leg.
I mean,
it can't all be thigh.
Surely, like, you know, especially once the bone starts to change shape.
Yeah.
You know,
once
it starts to move outward into that kind of double knuckle.
Yeah, it's sort of shedding its thigh fullness.
Yeah.
And becoming much more just generally leggy.
That's right. But it's not quite knee.
Yeah.
It's not quite knee, you know? And yeah. So.
I'm trying to picture what that is. Like you know, it's because the sausage has sausage ends, but the middle bit is all just plain sausage.
Yeah.
So there must be some of your leg that is just leg.
I believe so, yeah.
Is there any part of the leg that is uncategorized, like that there are some regions in Africa which no country has claimed? I just want to know what part of the body is yet to be categorized.
Well, definitely above the shin and below the knee. There's
Isn't
a
that
kind
calf?
Of... Eh? No, that's in the back.
Oh, calf is all the back. Right, okay. So, yeah, you're right.
Hmm.
Not what is that bit?
Yeah.
Because the shin stops, I reckon, about 2/3 of the way from the foot to the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And then just that bit up the top there, that's definitely just leg.
That's just leg. That's pure leg. Right? You know, and it's spread around. It's kind of like Alaska or whatever. Leg has, you know, it's part of one big part of the body.
Yes.
But it's all over the place. I think also the part below the calf but above the ankle.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of. There's some leg there. There's a bit good of leg, good leg territory.
It's crazy that Alaska is part of the United States, but is like not connected to it. Like I understand Hawaii is some islands, but Alaska is like mainland that is just like in a separate bit. It'd be amazing to find out that there was a bit of your leg that was sort of like in your armpit, or
sure,
like
or
that.
In your dog.
In your dog, yeah, next door under the television,
and that you could feel it.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if there was a part of your body that were external to yours.
We've got to write down this, by the way. I think
what is this?
The thing about bits, like what's pure leg.
Oh, what's pure leg? Okay.
I think like, okay, how's that a sketch? I don't know.
Well, I mean, look, it could just be, it's a doctor talking to camera.
Yeah.
Or an anatomist who's clarifying what the leg is. I mean, the leg obviously is the whole as a whole.
Yeah.
But
we've categorized these bits. Parts of the leg, these subsections.
It would be, I guess it would be like if Africa, like you know, you mentioned Africa, if the parts that aren't claimed by any country were just considered Africa.
Yeah, well, they still are, aren't they?
They are Africa.
Yeah.
And it's just because there's no lower level. There's no lower label.
Right. You know? Sub-Africa.
A sub-classification of Africa. So it's just, it remains Africa all the way down.
Yes. So Africa, the continent of Africa, is equally Africa everywhere in Africa. Right? Mm-hmm. There are no bits of Africa that are more Africa than anywhere else, and there are no bits that are less Africa than anywhere else.
That's right.
So everywhere in Africa is at a base level of like a certain amount of Africa.
Okay, wait, but what about Egypt? That kind of feels like it's not Africa, doesn't it?
I mean, I don't want to get into trouble, but I think you're right.
I mean, look, I feel
if
like
if I were to rank all of Africa in its Africanity, I guess Egypt is ranking low.
Egypt feels more Middle East.
Egypt to me feels more like a showroom. Yeah. You know, like it feels like sort of the a place where you go to look at pyramids and stuff like that.
Yeah, know? It's kind of an open air museum, you know. I don't really believe that the people there are actually in a real society. I think it's just sort of put on to kind of just maintain the museumness of it.
Mm. Yeah, and I believe we have at least one listener who's in Egypt.
Yeah, but
so I would both like to apologize and say you're welcome.
Yeah, to you for both insulting your country, but also summarizing it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So sorry. Where were you going with this Africa thing?
Nowhere at all. Nowhere at all. I guess if Alistair,
mm-hmm.
look, there's in my mind, right? Africa, the property of being Africa,
yeah,
and any continent, but I'm just using that as an example, mm-hmm. is a certain amount of liquid in a big tank, right?
Okay.
We have a tank full of Africanness,
yeah,
right, and if you've got the continent of Africa, you spread that all over Africa.
Yeah,
right?
So
you can work out that
level.
Like per square foot, every part of Africa is 0.00012 Africa.
Right. So it's not that much Africa.
It's not that much Africa because Africa's quite big.
Okay.
And then something.
I've got we should have just had more water. Yeah. Okay, right. So there wasn't anything more to
it. There was nothing more to that.
Even mountainous areas, they're the same amount of Africa?
I think they would have to be. Africa would have to be some kind of a property that doesn't run downhill, right? Because that would mean that valleys were more Africa than mountaintops.
And I guess it makes you think, though, about this whole Egypt fiasco that we kind of encountered before.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, maybe that's the thing, is that Egypt has an equal amount property of Africa, but I don't have any of that Africa in my brain, you know?
Right.
And so maybe I've kind of got a blockage or something like that. Maybe I have some Africa blindness.
Or maybe it's just all sunk, it's all been absorbed by the sand.
Do you think that could happen?
I think maybe the property is hugely absorbent, or it's very readily absorbed.
Do you think in the talking to your body seminar, you could convince your hands of something?
Or? Yeah, I think that would be great.
Yeah, could you hypnotize your knees?
You could hypnotize your hips.
Yeah. How would you feel if instead, like, you know, let's say you had a bad hip and they decided to actually just remove the hip.
Yes.
But just put the knee there. So you just lose that whole part of the leg and like that whole thigh bit.
Yep.
All right, and then it's just knee. So they just kind of they keep a bit of extra leg so they can jam it in.
Yep. There. Up the top there where the hip would
up
be.
Up the top there, and then you just can sort of just bend and you can sort of curtsy. You'd be in a kind of constant curtsy.
Well, yeah, but you could also definitely like walk along whenever there's like one of those little ledges along next to a like a garden by the side of the footpath.
Mm-hmm.
You could have one foot up on that and then one on the ground.
Wait. Okay.
Because you've got a shorter leg, right? One of your legs is
shorter. Oh, no, I was picturing both.
I'm sorry?
I was picturing both.
Oh, you're doing both. Yeah. I was picturing just one.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, obviously, if you were just doing one, you could do that. Or I guess most of the time you could sort of have a paint can under your foot.
A paint can.
You know, and hold it with the string, like those old-timey...
Yeah, hold it with a string.
All those old-timey stilts.
Yeah, yeah, a couple of paint
cans. I mean, I guess they're you know, they're old-timey, but they're still within the existence of the paint can.
How far do you think you could make it in business, right? On a pair of old-timey stilts.
Like, how old-timey are we talking? Like those long sticks or the paint can
ones? I'm talking the paint cans, you know, the strings.
Mm.
You know, there's a big premium placed on. I think there's a statistic that people who are taller get further in business.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just wondering if that is purely a function of height above the ground.
Yeah.
And whether or not you could game that system by walking around on
stilts.
On two paint cans.
Yeah, well, I think the gaining of the ground might be more difficult now that you've got this kind of walking impediment, you know. But people might offer you still
I think the higher ground is higher ground. I mean, you know, Sun Tzu's Art of War, I don't think he cared what kind of ground it was.
That's true.
Right? It could have been a pile of paint cans, a couple of paint cans. And I think that, like, it's like the, you know, when you go on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And
you get higher ground. A lot of people in airplanes get promoted.
No, that's not ground.
Oh, I see that as. I mean, the top of a paint can isn't really ground either.
That's true. I mean, the Earth is the Earth ground because that's just flying through space. So is an airplane.
Yeah,
that's just a bit of ground up there now, isn't it?
And paint cans came from the ground.
Yes,
and so did planes. So in a way, you're just flying around in some ground.
Some ground. Let's get this ground off the ground,
yeah.
Says the pilot.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, no, there's ads in the air. Look, Alistair, this is nothing, right? There's ads in in-flight magazines always that I see, which are for these shoes that they say, the shoes that make men taller, right? Have you seen this ad in in-flight magazines? And it's a... There's two photos. One's with a guy and a girl, and she's taller than him. Mm. And the next one, he's wearing some different shoes, and he's as tall as she is.
Sure.
Right? And it's advertising these shoes, which are supposed to make you, I guess, feel better about yourself because you're a bit taller. You might be as tall as a girl. Right? But if we ignore the fact that it's shoes and we make it paint cans.
Paint cans, yeah. Look, I think anybody would fall for anything.
Yes.
Right? And I think in this day and age, if somebody wants to walk around with paint cans, I mean, people walk around with Razor scooters.
Yeah.
And they seem to be not too embarrassed about that. So I think paint cans are not that far off of that. If you could get a wheeled paint can.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's great the way, because you see businessmen and women getting to work on Razor scooters, and that was a thing that was for kids. And somehow it's crossed over and it's more or less accepted.
Yeah.
I think business people getting to work on paint cans, that's solid.
Yeah, but, you know, even in, you know, the getting up from a business meeting, sort of getting on your cans, walking around like that.
It would make your strides longer, wouldn't it? Having the...
Somewhat, but you are trying to hold these on the bottom of your feet by pulling up.
Yeah, it's not quite the same as stilts, is
it? Yeah. Yeah, and even regular stilts, like they're not, I guess there's those stilts that people, you know, you can get now that you don't need to, like, you know, like those, there's the long ones with the stick where you're kind of just standing on the edge, like you're sort of in between two sticks of bamboo with a branch, even though bamboo doesn't really have a branch. Does bamboo have branches?
It must have little branches.
I guess at the top, there's some, of course, because that's where the leaves rest on. Anyway, I was thinking that also, if we're offering this to people, would it be great if there was a product that could make you shorter?
Yes.
You know?
Well, I mean, a chair kind of does that.
Yeah, so maybe a wheelchair for people who want to be shorter.
Great.
Or I guess there could just be a platform that you know, like let's say you wear it sort of like a, you know, like one of those barrels that a man would wear.
Yes.
With the straps over
his
shoulders.
He's lost all his money.
He's lost all his money.
At a casino, he picks up one of the barrels from the... Like, I feel like at a casino, they should have, like, in the cloak room near the front door, there's a bunch of courtesy barrels for people who've lost everything.
Yeah. Which, you know, I feel like probably a barrel's more expensive than any clothes that I would ever own.
I've looked at barrels on Gumtree. They don't come cheap. Also, they're incredibly heavy, I imagine.
Yeah, and that strapping mechanism, that's even... That, you know,
that's
then
complicated.
You got to pay for the labor for that.
Yeah.
But if the casino's willing to put that money forward, you know, for the people who lose, I guess that's a nice courtesy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they should stop accepting people's clothes as money. But, you know, that's how they do it. I guess the people that frequent casinos often have expensive clothes.
I think, yeah, but also, I mean, I like at the end of the night, the head of the casino, James Packer or whatever, comes down, goes through the clothes.
Picks what he likes.
Picks what he likes.
It's like he has his own sort of secondhand shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how he's done so well. Doesn't spend money on clothes.
That's how you... I'd like the guy from Walmart who was, you know, used to just drive his own truck. He's like, oh, I like my old truck.
Warren Buffett. Warren does that Buffett. As well, I think. Oh. I'm sorry, I have such an itchy nose. You've probably noticed I've been scratching my nose.
No, I didn't.
It's so itchy.
I like watching Zizek.
Oh, man, that guy scratches his nose.
Yeah,
like
and pulls on his shirt. Pulls on his shirt, scratches his nose. Like that. If you haven't seen this philosopher, Zizek, check out some Zizek. There's some lines in there. Anyway, where I was going with this, instead of the barrel, he's got a little platform that comes up to about knee high.
Yes.
Right? On there, on his knees, it looks like he's got shoes.
Right.
All right? But he walks around. I would say it goes about 2-3 meters out on every side. So it's kind of round. Like that. And then when he's standing at traffic lights and things like that, people just think it's a raised platform.
Right. So he's still walking on his feet.
Yeah.
But his actual feet and lower legs are below the platform. And on the platform are shoes that sort of emerge from around his knee.
Yeah. 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 So those are just fake shoes. But I guess they have to make it look like he's walking.
And this is great.
Yeah. And so, but then that way, because I think a lot of really tall people feel like they stand out.
Yeah, right. You just look like you're on a platform. And yeah. People on platforms don't stand out.
Absolutely. But I mean, other people
will come. There's one thing we've found, it's that podiums don't draw attention to
anyone.
No, but
other people will stand up onto the podium with him.
Oh, wow.
See, that's the idea, is that he becomes the ground in part, right?
This checks out.
Yeah, and because I think also a lot of really tall people feel like they're targeted. You know, if there's a madman in the supermarket, you know, some guy with some, you know, like just violent streak, alpha, you know, streak, right? They'll go for the biggest guy. That's, you know, in prison, that would be the perfect.
You go find the biggest guy. You punch him. You
punch
him
in the head.
No one takes you. No one's going to mess with you after that.
Yeah.
But a guy just standing on a podium, looking kind of short.
Yeah. This will look great. And I know, but he won't be alone on the podium.
No, he also won't be able to get through doors.
Well, I mean, is that a small price to pay?
Yes. It's nothing.
It seems like a small price to pay to have. To sort of be able to feel like you fit in.
Yeah.
Because he probably has some kind of body dysmorphia.
Alistair, I think if you want to write this down.
Paint cans.
I think the idea that people talking about in the office, right, this guy's like got promoted. He's on the up and up in a company. And everyone's talking about it, about how he's sort of the chosen one. He's been fast tracked. Everyone's kind of aware that he's standing on paint cans, but I think the fact that he's that doesn't change the fact that he looks kind of tall,
mm-hmm.
and that's quite imposing, and it seems to be working for him, right?
Psychologically,
soon you don't notice the paint cans,
yeah,
and all you notice is that like this guy seems tall,
yeah,
he sloshes a bit and clanks when he walks, and I find those very appealing.
And then. You know, he could actually have quite he could choose that on for different days, how he's feeling, whether he wants that kind of hollow metallic sound of tonk, 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 or whether he wants a kind of more like seaside-y, gluggy sort of, you know, I'm near a big pool of molten sort of.
Sulfur?
Sulfur or tar pit or something like that kind of sound like that. Or, you know, or just being in an aquarium, that kind of trapped sound. Trapped liquid, you know, blobbling, being in a, you know, in a submarine or something like that.
It is interesting that, like, we choose every day, we make a big effort to, like, I know I do, to like, choose what you want to look like that mm-hmm. day.
And often
we
smell.
Also put effort into, yeah, what we smell like, but we don't put any effort at all into what we sound like.
In terms of like us walking around, it's just
I feel like
swishing.
It's like tap dancers and maybe like Morris dancers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll get their shoes specifically for that. But
cats
I think
with bells as well.
Cats with bells, sure. But like the rest of us, we just sort of treat our acoustic personhood
mm-hmm.
like it's not something we have any control over.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be like that in the future.
No. Absolutely. Like sound will be as much a part of fashion as sight.
Maybe the main part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as the earth becomes more polluted and there's more smog, you'll be less able to see people, but you'll be able to hear them coming.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think being able to pair a good sound with a good outfit is going to be really important.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're kind of moving your arms forward and back like that, there's like some great opportunity for, like, you know, if you could get, like, the sound of, like, you know, a zipper opening and closing.
Sure. The crickets have been doing this for a long time.
Crickets, they wear their outfit on in their ears.
Yeah.
Or in your ears.
Yeah. You know, I think that's something. Can we write that down as a thing? Oh. You know, like it's the catwalk, but, you know, the room's full of smoke and dark.
Sure. You could do a, it's like, it's like the catwalk, but it's like a radio play.
Yeah.
It's the catwalk podcast for your fashion ears.
I'm just trying to think of a pun, fashionista.
I mean, I picture, you know, Foley guys are going to become some of the most fashionable people in the world because they'll know about how to make themselves sound, even like specific things.
You get somebody who's like your personal shopper who can design for you a personal soundscape, and they're a Foley guy, and they're like, right, we're going to put some cheese graters between your thighs, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to have that sound.
And the idea that you could make it sound like when you're walking, sure, you're walking through the city, but you could make it sound like you're walking through a forest of twigs.
I love that. Yeah. Yes.
Or
your shoes are full of, like, leaves.
Yeah, full of leaves. Or, you know, or...
Or snow.
Snow, like that...
I love that sound.
Yeah, breaking. So you can, you know, like when you walk, you step through really thin ice. That's a really nice, crunchy sound.
Crisp.
Really crisp and crunchy sound. If you could get that every step, it would be like orgasming every time you move your leg, which I think would really take away from your back pain.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think, you know, as is so often the case, though, like, do you think that a lot of the pressure for this to sound good is going to fall on women because of the way society, you know, is? Do you think this is, we're just finding another way for companies to market to and to put pressure on, you know, women?
Sure.
And so they're going to have to, it's going to be more of a burden on their time and their self-esteem, feeling like they don't sound good enough.
Yeah, so, like, there'll be a set of commercials on TV that'll be like, oh, got a big date tonight? Yeah. And then, like, oh, you're not going to go out like that with just the sound of, like, satin rubbing against cotton. And then she's, like, walking, and then the guy's, like, waiting at the bar. It's going, and you see him, like, grabbing his ears going, ah, what's that high-pitched whooshing sound?
Yeah.
And he goes, you should have chosen musical clothes. You should have, like a tambourine jumper.
Yeah.
And then
whatever it is, I mean, whether possibly it is to, like, they want you to be totally silent, like that your body, like, because we don't want our bodies to smell. Maybe we also don't want our bodies to make any noise. That could be a way of it. Like, everything's, like, cushioned and totally. Yeah.
But also with your arms rubbing against your sides like that, right? If you just put a pick, like a guitar pick there, that's the perfect strumming motion. So
that's
you could strum. He's a bling,
bling, if you can bling, stride, you bling. Can strum.
If you can stride, you can strum. And then people could start hollowing out. Like, let's say we find, like alternatives.
Alistair, this is where the body horror comes in, isn't it? I knew it was only a matter of time.
Well, I mean, I think it's only a matter of time before we find more efficient alternatives to our organs.
Yes.
Right? The spleen, the heart, things like that. Heart, you can have a little motor that passes the fluid, liquid. What's the lifeblood? Lifeblood.
What's the lifeblood?
What's the lifeblood of the body? Blood. Lifeblood. So you can get that sort of tuck that right up, like under the shoulder, mm-hmm. right? Get the lungs out of there. You could probably there's probably a paper a sheet of paper that you could sort of do, you know, a lot of that. You know, it's all circuits these days. It's all circuits.
Yeah,
it's paper
right.
thin.
Printed
yeah. circuits. Get the blood running through that like that. Get that oxygen out of there real quick like that. Anyway, hollow that chest cavity out, right?
Yeah.
Then you got this kind of like this nice hollow place in which you can get some resonance.
Right. It's a resonating chamber.
Resonating chamber, right? Maybe you could replace, I mean, bone seems like it would be a good material for.
The ribs are already very close to being a xylophone.
They're not that far.
Yeah, I think it's been noticed by a number of, like, children's cartoons.
Or at least fake children's cartoons, like in The Simpsons.
Yes.
Actually, a children's cartoon is quite violent and probably not so suited to children,
to bring this up.
Which I think maybe they covered in the episode where Marge gets upset with Itchy and Scratchy and then they lose the TV show. And then that guy gets that gold house. I don't want anything except for my gold house and my rocket car. Liver and onions. Anyway.
Do you think we've covered that?
Anyway, so there'll be that. But then I think it'll be nice to maybe fill in all the other areas with a sort of more bone. Mm. But you know how they do with those violins? That you can get an old violin, which sounds great. One of those ones, you know that one?
Yeah. $2 million. Bloody hell.
$10.
Stradivarius.
Stradivarius, like that. Or you can get a new one and you can treat it with biochemical stuff, which does artificial aging and it sounds as good and experts can't tell the difference. Mm-hmm. Do that to your bones. Get some all sorts
real of. Real old bones. That's what everybody wants.
Old bones. Well, I mean, that'll be a nice thing. You get there, you can get Neanderthal bones in there, get that other one. Who's that? What's that other? There's another thing that apparently we interbred with.
Some kind of cave people, like yeah. Savannah.
Savannah, Byzantines, or whatever like that. Who
knows? Yeah, one of them ones.
Right? And
anyway, it's amazing.
Get those bones in there. Get your chest sound that's best. Right? Don't need skin anymore. That'll deaden the sound, unless you're trying to make a drum. And you need skin.
I'm absolutely on board, Alistair.
But imagine this chest snare. Right? I think that's a cool thing.
Bass
drum?
The one-man band, they always look a bit silly because the band is all outside the man.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make that
It's not
man.
Really just a man. It's one man and his instruments band.
Yes.
I mean, the instruments are doing a lot of the work. I mean,
this is really a one-band man.
Yes. Wait. No, yes. that would be like somebody like John Lennon or something like that. I mean, John Lennon's not a good example because I imagine he was probably in another band before.
Right, so the one example that you came up with isn't a good example?
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
But I'm not going to let that make me sad. Wait. So this
My
is
nose
all still
is
just...
so itchy. I touched all this dust on the table and I rubbed that on my nose.
Yeah.
And I was rubbing my nose because it's so itchy. It's got worse.
Do you think that means that maybe you could be getting it better at philosophy?
Could be.
Yeah.
Every second.
That was more fashion sound, I think.
Yeah.
That was all kind of fashion.
Yeah, that's
sound.
All within the acoustic.
I think maybe catwalk. I kept going because you made it seem like you didn't want me to keep going.
I think that's a great reason for you to keep going, and I'm glad you kept going.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm.
Bloody-minded. Bloody-minded, actually. You could just be having some kind of stroke, some sort of
yeah,
leak.
Bloody-minded is actually like... Oh, he's very bloody-minded. Oh, is he? Like, is he stubborn? No, he was having an aneurysm.
Aneurysm, that's the word I was looking for. Oh, dear. Maybe that's where it all comes from.
Is that a sketch?
People who have aneurysms are very stubborn about not wanting to talk anymore, not being able to move the left side of their body. They're so
stubborn.
The left side of your body's become very lazy.
What do you think about this thing where I listened to this guy talking about how he was talking about the brain. He was basically saying that he thinks from evidence that they looked at.
Well, I'm convinced.
Right. So there's evidence, I'm pretty sure, that each hemisphere of the brain had its own personality. So that we are, in effect, even though we are one consciousness, we are two consciousnesses sort of together as one.
Forming a consensus or something like that.
Yeah.
But is it the case of, like, is one side of the brain just, like, trapped in there and can't really do anything? Or can both of them contribute to our outcomes?
I think, like, a lot of how they were making these decisions was they could block one eye.
Yeah, right.
And
give
it some information and see what it's like. Do you like sort of strudel? And then they show what's like, and one side of the brain loves strudel and the other side of the brain.
Oh, it's like, no, not more strudel.
Not strudel.
I'm trapped in here.
He's very sugar conscious.
In the subconscious. I hate strudel.
Yeah, but he's not even aware of the strudel at the time because I mean, I don't know whether, you know, he was listening with the ear. One of the
Can
ears.
You block one side of the tongue as well and feed it the strudel?
That would be nice, yeah. A guy who's trying to preference one of his... He only likes one of his personalities, one of his hemisphere's personalities, and so he's...
I both love this and I hate this, Alistair.
Yeah.
Like, I love the idea, and I just find it so irritating that, like, how could you possibly prove this? What do we do with this information?
Well, you know? I mean, it's quite... I mean, it was interesting in that I suppose maybe there's... It gives the possibility of fusing more minds together and maybe the idea of, like, what occurs in groupthink, right. You know, that out comes this kind of thing that is greater than the two. I don't know if he was saying that they're greater than the two, but, you know, is there a sort of melding of consciousnesses to get this kind of one thing? You know, all those things where if you get it, like, 100 people to guess, you know, how many jelly beans are in a thing?
Family
you
feud.
You get... Yeah.
Survey says.
Family feud is an example of some of the greatest thinking known to man. At least the example of when we come together, what we can achieve.
I mean, if family feud was a way of, like, if that was our form, our democracy, instead of the representative democracy that we have, if we had a family feud style democracy where, you know, everybody guesses what the decision is, whatever the outcome of the plebiscite is, and then, you know,
here's what I thought, right? So this
tell me
guy,
what your thoughts. So tell me,
so,
tell
so
me
this
anything.
Person's
Say
getting
something.
This
Talk to
this
me.
Person's attending this study where they're doing that,
yeah,
right, where they're testing about the two personalities, right? And he or she finds out that they have one of the personalities in one of their hemispheres, or the personality of one of their hemispheres. Mm. Has an opinion or something like that that is a deal breaker for them.
Yeah, wow.
Right?
Okay.
You know, they, it could either be like, I mean, I think it's probably more than something like they like a type of music, but it could be, you know, they show an opinion that is a little bit too right wing for them.
Yeah, they think that like corporal punishment works for kids.
Yeah.
You know, and you should smack kids.
Exactly. So then they really work to try to just block out entirely that personality from having any experience. So they coat half of their tongue in wax, they start wearing an eye patch, and they completely block up one of their ears like that. And then they try to, like, I guess, I don't know, touch is probably more complicated, I imagine. Well, maybe not.
Wear a thick glove?
Yeah, or maybe they could just, like, they could just completely, like, they completely, like, you know,
refuse to use that side of their body.
Yeah, but they, like, you know, they just put it into a material that basically feels nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they even rub a numbing agent. They grab all that numbing agent inside some of those condoms and they just rub them, so they are rubbing the inside of condoms on this one
Wait,
side of their body.
There's a numbing agent in condoms?
I think there's some condoms that you can get that have a numbing agent in because people want to use that to make them last longer.
Wow, right. But to have less of a good time.
Well, you know, I would say that 85% of the good time, right, comes from just knowing
Other
that
stuff.
You had sex.
Yeah.
Right? Like 15% of it is sort of the pleasures of the flesh.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But you it feels almost exactly the same to masturbate, right?
I can't tell the difference.
I can't.
I don't know.
Right? And also, imagining, you know, which some people do when they're, you know, masturbating, whatever, that they, you know, they're having sex and then they're masturbating. The brain doesn't know the difference between an imagination and a memory.
Really?
It can't really. I don't think there is any real difference to the brain. That's why it's all that stuff with rewriting and shit like that.
Brain's so dumb.
We should have a seminar so that you can learn how to talk to your brain.
Yes. Alistair, I've totally forgotten where we were at.
It was one guy
getting pretty confusing.
Trying to block. It wasn't confusing.
No, okay. A guy's trying to block out half of his brain. Yeah, great. I also think, though, like, what if you could prove that only one of those hemispheres of your brain committed a crime? Right?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I think
this could be quite a new... This could be a new frontier, because we are all about new frontiers in legal defense here on the podcast.
Absolutely.
We haven't come up with one for a while, but... If you could put it to somebody put it to the court that only the left hemisphere done the murder.
I think this is a great angle, Andy. Yeah. And I like the idea that way you don't have to punish the right hemisphere.
Mm.
And you could sort of put, I like the imagery of having a little prison for your hand.
Yeah, and that's
maybe,
really good.
You know, maybe your leg is in a cage as well.
Yeah, prison for only half of your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you sort of wheel it around. Maybe, and then it's almost like visiting time, visiting hours.
Yeah.
But that sheet of glass and the prison visit goes down the middle of your body.
Oh, yeah. Sort of like a, kind of like the cone, the dog cone.
Yes.
But maybe, like, I guess for your face, it could just go over half of your face.
Yeah.
Like that. And, you know, I guess you could sort of use a little bit of that plastic cone that the Gary Oldman had in Fifth Element.
Yeah. He's got head?
He's got that plastic thing over his head. Well, what if you keep going all the way over the face? Give it a bit of like a Phantom of the Opera.
Yep.
So go from Gary Oldman, Fifth Element, down to a Phantom of the Opera, down to Dog Cone, and all the way up the back.
Yep.
Like that. And then I think you got yourself a half a head prison.
A half head prison. Or and then like prison. I guess you let that half a head out for like half an hour every day to exercise.
Yeah. But I guess it has to be under supervision.
Yeah.
And then occasionally you get to take that half out and make love to your wife with it.
I think also, like, it'd be quite interesting to see, like, inside the prison and some of the cells, you look in and there's just like an arm in there, just like sticking through the wall.
Yeah. Sort of like a glory hole.
Yep.
But it's a punishment hole. I mean, it's
which
really
a glory hole can be, you know, if you use it right.
I mean, I think the term glory is already sarcastic.
It's got to be in glory, doesn't it? Inglorious and inglorious hole.
To me, I still take that as glory.
Yeah? Anything at all, really.
Anything with the word glory. Gloria, I take that as to just mean glory. All right.
I feel like we've got enough ideas, Al. Right? We've hit the big six ideas.
Yep.
Do you think you could take us through them?
Great, Andy. Well, we got the talking to the body seminar.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very body focused episode.
Yes. Well, you know what? I think it's all we got, Andy. If do you think that there's a soul?
No.
Yeah. So then it's all we got.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's a soul either, but I like to think that whatever other people consider to be the soul is just whatever takes a bunch of non-living atoms, makes them come together. You know that life spark? What's, you know, the difference between, you know, your grandpa laying in bed and the body
of your grandpa?
Yeah. Like moments after he died, whatever the difference between the two, that little energy spark there, that's what I think that they think the soul is, or that's what I'm naming.
What they think the soul is.
Yeah. I know they think it's got more to that, but I think that that's what they think.
Yeah, I know that they think there's more to it than that, but I don't think there is. I think that's all there is to it.
That's all there is. Yeah. Do you have anything to add about, because I think this is the talking to the body seminar, I feel like you know more than I do.
Look, to be honest, you want to know what I'm picturing? I'm picturing a person talking into a pipe, and the pipe is connected to their upper arm, to their bicep. That's what I'm picturing. So it's really low-level stuff, Alistair.
Yeah. But like one of those sort of speaking pipes? Like
Yeah, speaking tube.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it's trying to, one of the things is it's trying to focus on that body part, right? It's trying to cut things out because very often the information would get to that body part through, like, your ear or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, you want to be able to talk directly to your left nipple.
Yeah.
You should be able to do that.
Sure, yeah. Do you think there's a part of the body that only understands mime?
Yeah, I reckon. Hand?
Do you think you could communicate to your arm and hand via story, but through sort of hand puppeteering? Like if you put your hand in the shape of different, like a duck,
mm-hmm.
and then like a walking and things like that, you could sort of talk to your hand like that.
I think that's something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Then we've got... What's pure leg? This is an anatomist talk.
This is my favorite concept from the entire podcast. It feels the least like a sketch.
Yeah.
But I love it so much.
Yeah, it's the part of the leg that's leg all the way down. Mm. It never becomes a subcategory of leg, never becomes thigh, it's not a knee, things like that. It's just leg, no matter what.
Now, do you think that you could get that bit of leg and get the DNA from that bit of leg and grow something in a lab that was just like all leg?
Well, that's the hope, I think, with a lot of this stuff. With a lot of these things that we're trying to just get something that is leg minus any extraneous bits.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at some point we can get a sort of a leg concentrate, like a 25 times concentrate of leg.
Incredible.
Sort of more leg than anyone's ever had. In a whole human body, but like let's say fitting in the size of let's say a 10-cent piece.
Wow, like a neutron star. It's just like pure leg.
Pure leg, and then you give it to somebody, I don't know, on their birthday or something like that, and then you go, that's more legs than you have.
And then what would happen if they ate that? Do you think they would become leg?
I think there's a lot of theories.
Yeah, right.
I think, on what would happen. And then we have, obviously, there's the business paint cans, which is for walking around on stilts, and to also feel better about yourself. And I think the positive effect that it would have.
What I like about this in particular is that it makes it seem like business people are incredibly stupid, right? I love it. I love the idea that, like, they realize that they're paint cans, mm-hmm. but they're still so susceptible to, like, the height and this, like, base level animalistic, power play.
And also that it kind of plays to what happens in business where you overlook stuff sometimes, especially if somebody it's somebody who's above you in a ranking, you know, you're not going to speak up because it's going to affect your chances. You're always networking. You're always trying to climb. Yes. You're always trying to get ahead.
Yes.
Right. And it's the same. You realize that person's doing the same thing. And if you make fun of them, well, he might be in charge of you later on anyway. Right. And he could, that can comment could really funk up your...
I mean, really, your best chance is to just get yourself some slightly bigger paint cans.
Exactly.
And then what you've got yourself in, like, a paint can war.
Mm, absolutely. You get an arms can. A subcategory of that sketch is also the floor platform that makes you look shorter, which is where you wear it sort of like a barrel that you would wear after losing all your money at a casino. But it goes down lower... goes all the way down to the knee, and it's a floor platform. Platform, and it allows you, and then you have feet, fake feet, just at your knees there.
Because you just want to feel normal.
You just want to feel normal. And people stand on it, and you carry the weight on your shoulders, which is the best place, as long as you keep your back straight. Then we have the fashion sound. This is the future, and it's about the sound of fashion. What do you want to sound like? Mm. Could your clothes be strumming as you walk? Could
you be totally silent?
Squeaky shoes. I have some shoes. This. What about like the sound of, of like that heavenly sound that you were just? Was that what you were trying to do?
I was just trying to. Yeah, I mean, I feel like mine was, if anything, more heavenly, and yours was more like a dial tone.
That was kind of closer to a dial tone because it takes two. Anyway, so and then that also involves the possibility of sort of hollowing out your chest cavity and making a full...
The possibility.
You could run strings from your chin to your sort of just above your pubic area.
Yeah, and like then by lifting your chin up and down, you can change the tune.
Even if you got the, even if it was just that one string, like that Chinese instrument.
I know it.
You know the Chinese instrument.
Yeah, yeah. Who's that guy who makes all the sound with his body?
Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby McFerrin? Eat your heart out, Bobby.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to change my name to...
Eat your human heart out.
I'm going to do it. And you could after you replace it with that little efficient...
Exactly. Little robot.
Yeah. I'm going to call myself Body McFerrin.
Great.
Yeah.
That's a real slap in the face.
Yeah. And then we got one guy trying to block out one of his hemispheres after...
A slap in the face that would make a real pleasing sort of bongo noise.
Yeah. Dunk. Andy, you're not going to like this. I know you're ready to go. But, okay, so wait, we got one guy trying to block out this, one of his hemispheres, personalities, and then also the guy who's, this is a slightly separate sketch where the guy is trying to use a legal defense of blocking out one of, only having one of his hemispheres get
I think convicted. The legal defense I've now lost interest in. I'm interested in the consequences of the punishment.
Yeah, right. Right? Sure.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Whether or not we have to see some legal defense in order to justify it, yeah.
We have to come up with a sketch idea for somebody's three words.
Somebody sent us in three words, so we're sorry to do that after we've done the summary, but here we go.
Sure. I want you to know this is for Daniel Pierce, who Daniel Pierce has actually already got her three words up.
Great.
This is to show an example of the kind of freedom you get once you buy into this Patreon three words thing. Right,
it's on for young and old.
It's on, yeah. Don't if you've send in three words, we're just going to go through them mostly in order.
Yeah.
And so if we've forgotten you, let us know. By the way, okay, three words are banana, unicycle, cafe.
Okay. Well, the first thing I think is the banana and the unicycle. I'm thinking, it's ripe for.
Mm-hmm.
You're riding along. You ride over a banana peel.
Sure.
Your unicycle. You slip. You've put all your eggs in one wheel. With the unicycle.
Of course.
You've thrown caution to the wind. You said all these suckers out there with their two-wheeled bicycles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that confident in my one wheel.
Sure.
Right. And maybe you're on your way to a cafe. Now, Alistair, that's a bad idea. I just want you to know that.
Okay, sure. But what about this?
Yes.
Okay, a cafe.
Yes.
That's on a unicycle.
Oh, okay, interesting. Right?
And they only sell bananas.
Okay, but what about this?
Okay. With banana.
I mean, okay, because you definitely could have... You've had your... we've had your roller skate diners, right? People... The servers in the diner, they're coming, bringing the food to you on roller skates.
Yeah.
Right? We haven't had that on many other forms of transport.
Sure.
And I think that's interesting.
So, okay.
I think, like, you know, the Razor scooters, the...
people sliding in.
The pogo sticks.
People sliding in on discarded banana peels.
Yeah. I mean, that's something. People... Yeah. We haven't had people falling to your table.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Yeah, yeah. It's... I've noticed that most people who serve me when I'm at a restaurant or, you know, at a cafe or something like that are not getting injured.
Right. They're not careening out of control.
Yeah. And what do people love watching? Things like...
Fail videos.
Fail videos, funniest home videos, things like that. People, you know, some of the most genuine belly laughs that you will get in life are from watching somebody hurt themselves.
Okay. We've got theater restaurants.
Yeah.
Right? And... You know, that's people putting on a show. They've written some crap about dinosaurs and vampires, right? And that's somehow tied into your meal experience. But people, theater is dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? What is big now is real life fail videos online, right? Yeah. So this is a theater restaurant experience where it's all structured pratfalls.
Mm-hmm.
Right, or maybe not even structured. Maybe it's genuine accidents taking place.
They sort of herd in at the back. They've just got just a whole pen filled with buffoons. Some are drunk. Some are just accident prone.
Yes.
On the way in, there's different things that they're handed. One person might be handed a baseball bat, and they set up they give you your plate of food, but then also a baseball bat, and then there's going to be a pinata. Or one person has a skateboard and a chainsaw.
Great.
And they wheel them out, and they got your enchiladas.
Yeah. There's a kid. He's got a football. His dad's up a ladder. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen?
Yeah. There's you know, there's sets of shelves, and there's people driving little bumper cars around.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's going to happen?
I'm telling you what, the shelves, they're flimsy.
They're going to fall.
They're going to fall.
That's what we're suggesting. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if we didn't make it clear. A lot of the time, I just let the theater of the mind take over. But
yeah. Well, theater of the mind, that's not bad.
Oh, that's what we can call
theater
it.
Theater restaurant of the mind. Now, that's where nothing really happens. And they just sort of describe stuff. And
oh, that's kind of like this podcast.
Yeah, in a way. If you're eating while you're listening to this, you're engaging in some theater restaurant of the mind. So, yeah, I think... because it's all the world's a stage, and we're just trying to compete with we're going where the eyes are. Where are the views?
Mm-hmm.
What do people want? You know that Dracula's restaurant, the theatre restaurant in Melbourne, has just closed down.
I've heard
about a month ago.
I know,
long running. It's been around for years and years and years. Now it's closed down because it can't compete.
It can't compete. And so what we're going to open up a place with, like, you know. I think it would also be fair to have other, like, you know, don't just limit yourself to fail videos, because I think it's going too niche. That's going to, what about animal versus other type of animal videos as well? So, you know, like, there's nothing that would make me happier than to see a tiger versus a crocodile.
While you're having your entree.
While you're having sort of, you know, a couple of Proseccos.
Don't know what Prosecco is.
It's just Italian sparkling wine.
Oh, great. Well, now I know what Prosecco is. Yeah. Thank you, Alistair.
I think the Italian way probably has just a specific brewing method or whatever. But
imagine if I died just then, right, and it turned out that all that was keeping me alive was that, like, secretly my purpose was to find out what Prosecco was. I didn't realize, and as soon as you told me, that's it.
Do you think I'll be present when you die?
Definitely.
Oh.
Definitely. Because you're always around... when I'm my most stressed.
Oh, Andy, don't do it to me in the next 5 years, and if that's okay.
You're also always around when I jaywalk at that bit right near work. And that's probably where I'm going to die.
I've literally saved your life multiple times, and you will never admit it.
I'll never admit it, and I'll never say thank you.
You're too proud. I've stopped you. I yell, Andy, stop! And you look and you pretend like you knew there was a car coming. You don't know.
I don't know. And it makes me wonder how I've lived this long, because you haven't always been around.
Oh, but I have.
Oh.
Andy, I'm your guardian angel. Anyway, we got to wrap this up.
Please come to our show.
Yeah, our comedy festival show. The year is 2018, if you're listening to this. And we've got a show on from March 28th to April 8th. There's 10 shows. There's some nights in there that are not on.
So yep.
Book online at Try Booking, but you can go on the comedyfestival.com.au website, type in sketch, type in Andy, whatever, into the search bar. Alistair.
With a D.
Yeah, and then it'll come up, and then just buy tickets if you want.
Yep.
There's a range of prices depending on who you are, or how many people you are.
Yeah, I've just fixed the thing where instead of getting $15 per ticket for a group ticket, you got all the tickets in the group for a total of $15. Yeah. So somebody accidentally bought 24 tickets when they were trying to buy 6.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, and also you can get our Patreon.
Yes,
Patreon. People have been, look, there's so many thanks to give. We're going to give more thanks in the next episode.
Yes.
Right, but I just wanted to say thank you to all those who have donated. And you can donate, and soon we're going to, I don't know, I think maybe after Comedy Festival, once we have some life again.
Stop saying soon to these things.
No.
Stuff's going to happen.
Stuff will happen eventually. We're going to try and record some extra episodes that are only for
Patreon
supporters. And we have to probably also do the and so also we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional, you have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.